Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, dedicated to accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science worldwide, on the web at mathworks.com.
Welcome back, and let's turn now to the conflict in Syria. More than 350 people have died during 5 weeks of anti-government protests. Video footage on YouTube today shows government tanks moving into what appears to be the southern city of Daraa this morning. Today's response by the government was especially harsh, and observers say this might be a new strategy from the Assad government, preemptive strikes against the opposition. The Obama administration says it will consider sanctions against Syria as a result. Joining us from Beirut, Lebanon, is the BBC's Owen Bennett Jones. And Owen, remind us, you are in Beirut because Syria has pretty much banned all foreign journalists?
That's correct. No foreign journalists at all there at the moment, actually. Al Jazeera English was the last one to hang on, but they got chucked out as well a few days ago. So, yeah, there are no foreign correspondents. I've been applying for a visa for, must be 7 weeks now. The trouble's been going on for 5 weeks, but nothing doing, and no one's getting in.
Well, what are you hearing today, though? We understand there's some social media video coming out of Daraa that's purporting to be, showing government forces attacking civilians, reports that government forces went in with knives and are going door to door. What are you hearing?
I am hearing that there is a major operation on in the city of Daraa where they did send in tanks and thousands of soldiers. There is video footage and much of it, the same event from different angles, very convincing. And it shows troops going through the streets looking for targets. One little bit of film of some boys throwing stones at a tank, but basically not much defiance. The streets absolutely empty.
Well, remind us, Daraa is where the uprising started after some teenagers, young boys, wrote anti-government graffiti.
That's right, and it's been the centre of the protest for 5 weeks, described as liberated territory by the opposition in the last few days, and the government can't tolerate it. They're fighting to get it back.
Well, give us a little background here. Syria has historical sectarian divisions. It's a Sunni majority ruled by an Alawite minority with a large Christian representation. But President Bashar Assad was in recent memory seen as a modernizing force. So what does this mean if he is toppled or increasingly attacks his own people?
Well, he was seen as a moderating force when he took over from his father. And for the first 6 months, there was talk of reform, the Damascus Spring. It didn't really, well, it happened for a bit. Then they rode back on it and have basically kept a pretty repressive regime ever since. This is what's come out of it, these protests. And he did, at the beginning of it, try to offer concessions. He tried to not use force at some of the protests and so on. But once he made the big concession that he had to offer, which was lifting the state of emergency that had been in place for nearly 50 years, he did that. It didn't stop the protests. So last Thursday night, I think, the government decided, right, it's not working, this. We've got to use a different tactic. We're going to use force. And they've killed over 120 people since then.
And yet, when I say moderating force, I guess, he's no more Mark Gaddafi. So what is the sense in the region of where this goes? We know people in his own government have stepped down in disgust over the civilians who have died.
Well, I suspect what will happen. I mean, maybe the protesters will keep coming out. We're going to find out, I think, in the next 3 or 4 days where Syrian politics is going, because this is the government's big move. It has got this massive security operation on. Now, if it is successful, and basically the protesters are scared into staying in their homes, then we will have the status quo ante. We will have this authoritarian regime ruling for, indefinitely. If the protesters keep on coming, then, of course, it'll be an entirely different situation. I think Friday is a very big day. We'll find out.
Because Friday is the day, has been the day of protests.
Yeah, sure, because basically people can meet for prayers. And, under the emergency law and then under sort of new regulations they brought in to replace the emergency law, you can't hold a demonstration legally. So it's very difficult to have an occasion which people can get out and be in public in the same place, same time sort of thing. Friday prayers is such an occasion, and it has, over the last 5 weeks, given rise to ever greater protests. Now, will people dare do it this Friday? We'll see.
I know you're not in the speculation business. But we've seen what's happened in Libya with a NATO alliance joining on the side of the rebels. What's the view from the region of Syria? Is there, because that NATO alliance was encouraged by many of the countries in the region. So what's the view of Syria?
It's really complicated, and this is one of the reasons why the international community is not doing much about Syria, because, you know, you've got countries like, let's say, Israel, who, of course, you know, it's a war with Syria, theoretically, but the fact is it's been a stable regime for Israel to deal with, and they may fear what could replace this government more than what they've got there at the moment. Then you've got Lebanon, who, again, would fear instability in Syria, because if sectarian problems kicked up in Syria, they'd probably be reflected by violence here in Lebanon, and so on. You could go on with that. There are many countries that, even if they don't greatly like Bashar al-Assad's regime, they fear that what could replace them could be worse. And so there's not a huge interest in changing anything.
And by the way, what's been the role of the US, Britain? What are the complications there?
Well, the United States and Britain, you know, basically, I guess in the US case, mainly seeing it through the Israeli prism and just sort of trying to work out what's best in Israel's interests. And, you know, one of the things that could come out of this is that if there is a weaker Syria and there's chaos in Syria, then one possibility is that Hezbollah, which is the militant organization and probably Israel's most effective enemy in the Middle East, would be definitely weakened and would be more vulnerable. And some people here think that one outcome would be that Israel would try and attack Hezbollah in those circumstances, thinking that Syria would not be in a position to help defend it and arm it.
And we should explain it's because Hezbollah, which is based in Lebanon and has, you know, is in the government now in Lebanon, some of its leaders are in Syria, and Syria has long backed Hezbollah.
Sure, no, exactly. So a weaker Syria would mean a weaker Hezbollah. You know, I mean, basically, there are lots of implications of Syria going. And everyone is unsure exactly how it would work out. And I think that has added to the sort of rather muted response from the international community to what's going on. I mean, if you compare it to what happened in Egypt and Tunisia, you know, or Libya, then the Western governments really, apart from issuing a few sort of statements, aren't really doing anything.
The BBC's Owen Bennett-Jones from Beirut in Lebanon on the conflict in Syria. Owen, thanks as always.
Thanks very much.
And, of course, we'll continue to follow that story. Also, tomorrow on Here and Now, ProPublica's Jesse Eisinger on the ratings agencies. They were at the heart of the Wall Street collapse. Now they're cautioning the U.S. on debt. But have the rating agencies learned any lessons? And, by the way, maybe Jesse will bring his brand new Pulitzer with him. Also, Steve Earle. He's gone back to his country roots on his new CD. That's all tomorrow, Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced, Hinckley, Allen & Snyder, where partners have been giving clients practical legal advice for over 100 years throughout New England and now including Connecticut, online at haslaw.com. And the Institute of Contemporary Art on the Boston waterfront. Discover the power and beauty of new art and ideas, icaboston.org.